de lunes a jueves. You
are the safari park. You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
So I'm paying the Sprint phone bill online, a bill I really, really hate to pay because I don't like Sprint for a myriad of reasons. And the first thing I see on their page is...
Our priority is keeping you safe.
And I'm thinking, then why haven't they sent me a hazmat suit? Or at least delivered groceries to my front door so I don't have to endanger my life at the supermarket? How about an armed bodyguard 24/7? Hell, Sprint, just send me a fucking MRAP. I'd feel pretty safe tooling around LA in one of those. I was pissed. I made a screenshot, posted it on Twitter, and tagged Sprint saying, "No, Sprint, your priority is making money." But Sprint isn't the only $35 billion company now using a disease as a marketing platform. Nearly all of them are, and it's obnoxious. About 95% of all advertising has always been shit. The shittiest is rooted in what's called borrowed interest, huh? In other words, their product or service is run-of-the-mill or maybe even subpar garbage. So they're going to head fake you into buying it by attaching it to something that has absolutely nothing to do with it. Because they think John Q. Public is that stupid. It appears that they are correct. John and Jane Q. Public are that stupid. By the way, I personally dumped Sprint some time ago, switched to a smaller outfit, an MVNO. There are dozens of them. I now have better coverage, and what Sprint charged me about $55 a month for, I now pay $19 a month. The Sprint bill I'm still paying is for other family members. Dumping Sprint completely is on my list of things to do, but it's a bit of a McGilla. Advertising and marketing have always been a shit show. So many wildly successful brands and products are actually second rate. But because they were skillfully marketed, they became runaway successes. I can name half a dozen right now, in anything from electronics to automobiles to firearms. But why piss off the fanboys and girls? Most people don't want truth. What they want is validation of their own beliefs and decisions. When your wife or girlfriend asks, "How do I look in these jeans or this hat or these shoes?" she does not want an honest answer. Unless that answer happens to be sensational, fabulous. But any deviation from enthusiastic approbation will piss her off. And guys are the same way, just about different things. When a guy says, "How do you like my new car, boat, boots, pistol grip, axe, whatever it is?" note the phrasing of that question. It's never, "Do you like my new thingamajig?" It's, "How do you like my new whatever?" So the option to disapprove isn't even offered. I knew a guy who bought an incredibly ugly car, a Nissan Cube. I used to shoot skeet with him. He was quite proud of it, and asked that "how do you like it" question to a group of shooters. After an uncomfortably long silence, one guy answered him, "How long did it take you to build that car?" Still, people bought a lot of those ugly cars, and it seems somebody, a hell of a lot of somebodies, will buy just about anything. Products, services, or ideas. In Germany in the 1930s, there was a mousy little ad man. He was no Don Draper. His name was Joe Goebbels. Oh, by the way, ever notice how pretentious assholes try to say his name with a German patois, huh? Goebbels. That always bugs me. Little creepy Joe Goebbels managed to convince a lot of the country not only to follow a maniac, but to become genocidal maniacs themselves. Then you have the commie believers, huh? Over 100 million dead from the commie disease. But lots of people still think that shit works, and no matter how often it fails and how many more millions die, they will continue to believe because damn few people can handle being wrong. We hear a phrase bandied around a lot these days by online oracles and teleprompter reading twits on television, cognitive dissonance. And they misuse it most of the time. They have no idea what it means or its origin. I first heard it in a college marketing class that was taught by a very cool dude, one of the few cool teachers I ever met. He owned a fairly good-sized marketing company, so he knew what he was talking about. He wasn't a theorist, as most college professors are. He first hit the class to a dude with the sticky name of Leon Festinger, who actually coined the phrase cognitive dissonance. Leon had studied some nutty cult that believed another Noah's Ark-level flood was on its way. And a lot of those cultists gave up their homes and jobs to work for the cult and prepare for the end of the world. When the world didn't end, some cult members owned the fact that they were chooches and got conned. They wrote it off as a stupid decision and moved on with their lives. But the starry-eyed true believers, they weren't having any of that. They claimed the world did not end because their faith was unshakable. They chanted away the flood. And so Festinger's research told Madison Avenue a lot about the way people make decisions, especially buying decisions. This marketing professor of mine also made no bones about the fact that just about all advertising and marketing was bullshit, and if not outright lies, certainly exaggerations and bent facts. Then he pulled a comic book out of his well-worn but high-end briefcase. Yeah, he read comic books, which made the class think he was even cooler. And he turned to the back, where all those classic cheesy ads were. The ones for X-ray glasses, where some chiclet-toothed, hypno-wheel-eyed perv with a hairline of a chimpanzee has those electric lust bolts shooting out of his X-ray specs as he ogles some voluptuous chick. And thanks to those miraculous glasses, he can see right through her coat to her magnificent, curvy body. We'd all seen that ad. Maybe you've seen it too. In case you've not, I'll post it on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. Then this professor, who truly was a cool dude, asked if anyone in the class had ever actually bought any of the products from those comic book ads. A few guys sheepishly raised their hands. The teacher shook his head and said, "You fucking morons. Thanks for being stupid. You make my job so much easier. My real job, that is. Not this teaching thing, which, by the way, I'm doing mostly to meet co-eds." Did that guy rock or what? Now, that X-ray specs ad has had dozens of iterations over the decades and may still be running somewhere. And it was successful because of four key elements. One, some people are stupid. That's right, it's become politically incorrect to use that word, but in fact, some people are stupid. Two, some people may not be stupid, but are ignorant. There is a difference. Stupid people lack intelligence. Ignorant people lack knowledge. Stupid is incurable, but ignorance can be fixed. Three, all people are lazy at one time or another. And laziness is a huge factor in marketing success. I'll get to why in a moment. Four, most people have hope, until we don't, and then we commit suicide. Some people reading those ads may have had a gut feeling that they were not going to get a working X-ray device for $1, but they said, "Fuck it, I'll risk a buck to find out." By the way, that I'll spend a buck mindset made a billionaire with a B out of the dude who founded 99 cent stores. So the artwork is a hoot, and so is the wording. And that wording, and you know I'm an incorrigible word freak, that wording is what separates the smart from the stupid and ignorant and lazy and puts the money in the pocket of the marketer or the horrific politician, enabling him to secure our votes and fuck up this world. The ad says in big, bold-faced type, an hilarious optical illusion. How many purchasers really understood the word illusion or optical? The body copy goes on to say,
imagine,
key weasel word,
you put on the x-ray specs and hold your hand in front of you. You seem,
another key weasel word,
you seem to be able to see through it. Look at your friend. Is that really his body you see under his clothes? Loads of laughs and fun at parties, yuck, yuck, yuck.
Now, the guys hawking x-ray specs may not have heard of Leon Festinger, nor Cognitive Dissonance, nor were they in the Don Draper League, but they did know their target audience. The crude illustration shows the guy perving on a chick, but the text shifts to a buddy. Is that really his body you see under his clothes? They knew the brain-damaged losers buying these things probably would not personally know even a single female on which to test it. I recall reading another ad in the back of a magazine, a slick, legit, grown-up magazine, not like pulpy comic books. And this ad was a beaut. It was probably an eighth of a page and teased a solar-powered clothes dryer. Only $49.95. And thousands, maybe tens of thousands of suckers, many of them self-appointed planetary saviors, gleefully paid the $50 and were disappointed to receive a clothesline. I tried to find a copy of that ad and instead stumbled on the amazing story of the dude behind the scam. His name is Steve Commissar, and he's from, where else? Beverly Hills, of course. L.A. is the scam capital of the world. Commissar is a pretty cool name, but Steve's alias, that was a quantum leap cooler. Brett Champion. I don't know if authorities were able to prosecute Steve or Brett for the solar-powered clothes dryer, but I sure hope not. Did he lie? No. It did dry clothes, and the power source was solar, maybe with a little assistance from the wind. The people that sent in $50 for that deserved to be ripped off. In fact, if getting clipped by Steve for a mere $50 made them more skeptical and circumspect and cured their fucking intellectual laziness, then it was a very cheap education. They got a hell of a value for $50. I used to know two guys, successful guys, guys with advanced degrees. One was a psychiatrist, and the other was head of marketing for a huge car company. Both were financially gutted by an investment scammer. And it was not a complex, believable scam like Madoff. As it was described to me, a reasonably intelligent beagle could have sniffed it out. If only those two guys had bought Brett Champion's solar-powered clothes dryer, they might have wised up earlier when the stakes were lower and kept their life savings. But they had hope, lots of hope, layered with a pinch of greed, and they were really lazy. They failed to make the effort to conduct minimal due diligence before handing a con artist all of their money. Two of the most common words used in those old comic book ads were spurious and ersatz. Back in the day, bogus was the third word deployed to befuddle those with limited vocabularies, but Bill and Ted knocked bogus off the rotation. I can remember at maybe 7-8 years of age reading the word spurious in one of those ads and then grabbing the dictionary and having one of the biggest epiphanies of my life. Holy shit! They are telling the rubes the product is fake, that it does not work. They're just using a word the suckers will not know and are too lazy to look up. I felt like I had just been admitted to some very cool club. I was in with the in crowd. Lots of similar word game scams are raging right now for the highest imaginable stakes. Sleazy, lying politicians are using the abbreviation UBI, Universal Basic Income. They would dare not use the factual, plain English description. Money stolen from those who work for it and given to those who don't. UBI sounds so nice and neat, doesn't it? Yeah, who doesn't want UBI? Give us some of that UBI. There is an ever-growing glossary now of words and phrases scam artists from the political and corporate worlds use to fake out suckers. Economic justice. That's a cover phrase for socialism. Socialism is communism light. Voicing disagreement is hate speech. Thinking for yourself is judgmental. And the one that we started with, safety. Ooh, that might be the most dangerous word of all. No one is quite sure who first said, "Those who would trade safety for freedom shall have neither." But what does the attribution matter? It was as true in Ben Franklin's day or whomever's day as it is right now. I first did a show about 21st century man's and woman's obsession with safety back in May of 2018. It was called Give Me Danger. And I never imagined it would come to this. Anytime you see or hear the phrase, "for your safety," you're getting rat-fucked. And it's usually not about your safety, it's about their safety and power. So who do we blame for this never-ending assault on our dignity and intelligence? Well, cause marketing, which was the precursor to virtue signaling. Cause marketing is what companies use when their product is shit and their ad agency has zero creativity. And it first appeared back in the 1980s, where New York, of course, the city of my birth, and the place I gleefully fled and intend never to return. In the 1970s and into the 80s, New York was an abysmal shithole, at perhaps the nadir of its history. The crime rate was over the moon. Vast tracts of the city resembled Dresden after World War II. Block after block after block of burned-out tenements. Of course, the brick exteriors did not burn, but they were a hell of an eyesore. New York, in a monumental display of stupidity, came up with a fix. Instead of demolishing the buildings, they fabricated thousands of rectangles of sheet metal, painted to look like nice windows with curtains and shades with little pull cords, and then they bolted these fake windows over the empty holes. It was insane. The city government actually figured that cheap shit camouflage would fake out tourists or foreign corporations, so they might want to invest in the city. It was pathetic. The quality of life was intolerable, so much that it inspired movies like Death Wish and Escape from New York. One of the most visible signs of New York's decay was the Statue of Liberty. She looked like a tired old hooker with leprosy. The stone base was crumbling, she was covered in tarnish and bird shit, and her torch-bearing arm was literally falling off. Back then, the late Lee Iacocca had taken Chrysler Corporation from bankruptcy to profitability, mostly by force of will and a government bailout, but Chrysler did pay off the loan in full. They still made shit cars, but Lee knew something about marketing, and one of his gimmicks was to spearhead the restoration of Lady Liberty. And soon American Express jumped on the bandwagon, and it was they who coined the term cause-related marketing, which did help Lady Liberty, but it unleashed a diseased and malevolent genie into the world of advertising. Before that time, advertising was patently false, but at least it was entertaining. Everyone in it was beautiful and elegant. It was inspirational. Anything from a beer to an automobile would show the world you were a person of distinction, somebody going places. Miller High Life, great name, was subtitled the Champagne of Bottled Beers. Pall Mall cigarettes were smoked wherever particular people congregate, like the oncologist's office. But it didn't matter. Products were sold not so much to fulfill a need, but to feed a dream of upward mobility and a better life, the good life. Hell, even Mick and Keith sang about it in Satisfaction, right? When I'm watching my TV and the man comes on and tells me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man because he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. I mean, those guys were even hip way back then. Some think that advertising has become more honest. They're dead wrong. It's sleazier and more dishonest than ever. After the Statue of Liberty thing, the floodgates opened, and cause marketing became not the gimmick du jour, but the gimmick de eon. Up until now, it's been about the environment and then climate change. Every company was greenwashing themselves, claiming to be planetary guardians, no matter how thoroughly they were destroying it. The hypocrisy was off the charts. British Petroleum, responsible for maybe the biggest environmental disaster in history, still positions itself as a caretaker of Gaia, with their sunflower logo and bullshit ad copy. But now they, like Sprint and every other corporate huckster, is on the coronavirus bandwagon. And lazy, stupid, and ignorant people continue to buy into their bullshit. It no longer matters if a car is more comfortable, more durable, more economical. And neither should you care about those things. Your decision-making process should be predicated on
how nice they are, how much they care about you.
I took a quick look at the landing pages of some massive corporations. First was Honda. I kind of had a feeling. There you will see no car, but you will see an image of a mom with a toddler on her back. The copy says,
"We'll get through this together."
Nissan has a similar pitch. So does Toyota. But at least they have some assembly line worker turning a bolt under the hood. To my utter astonishment, Coca-Cola has a couple of pointy chicks laughing shoulder to shoulder as they clink bottles. Doesn't look like they're worried about sugar, tooth decay, weight gain, or social distancing. Apple? Knock me sideways. Not a fucking word about the virus. Just the simple, honest message. Our stores are closed, but here's how you can still buy our stuff. I've never been a fan of those guys, but I'm starting to like them. Ford, blissfully, makes no mention of the pandemic. To hell with Nissan, screw Honda, and fuck every company that uses cowardly, cause-related, or virtue-signaling marketing, especially a goddamn disease, to sell their junk. Now I think I'll have a Coke and go look at some Fords. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Check out the new bonus episode that just dropped, the one with the inimitable Sean, co-host of the famed Dick Show. We talk about life, corona, music, death, family, world history, Hollywood, and even Dick. That's at patreon.com/thatlarryshow, along with dozens of other episodes of a more personal and contentious nature. Write to me anytime at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. If you have a problem, perhaps I can help you, or maybe one of the senseis here at the Take No Shit Dojo can lend a hand. We have an excellent track record. My friends, if you think about it, most of us come equipped with our own X-ray vision. It won't see through clothing, but it will cut through bullshit. All we have to do is stay alert and always, always ask questions. I'll see you next Tuesday or thereabouts, right here at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. And until that time, take no shit.